I just realized that at the end. I caught it. My apologies.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions. Yep, we do have an amendment. Representative Tremont, you are recognized to explain amendment barcode 261981.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment just simply makes a few technical clarifications pertaining to the timing of the distribution of the title and the language on the titles.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, is there any public testimony on the amendment? No public testimony, any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Tremont, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
I waive close.
Members, if there's no objections, I'm going to show that amendment adopted without objection. We're back on the bill as amended, and I do have some public testimony, which we'll move to now. Clark Smith, representing Copart, is a proponent. Waives in support. Mr. Ron LaFace, representing IAA, waives in support. Thank you, gentlemen. Is there any further public testimony? Seeing none. Debate, members. Any debate? Representative Tremont, you're recognized to close.
I waive close. Thank you for hearing the bill.
Thank you. Margarita, please call the roll.
Representatives Andrade. Yes. Arrington.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Bengtson.
Yes.
Bearfield.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes.
Escamani.
Yes.
Esposito.
Yes.
Harris.
Yes.
Hinson.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Mello.
Yes.
Michael.
Yes.
Nixon. Porras.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Stark.
Yes.
Chair McFarland.
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Margarita. Members, by your vote, House Bill 1517 will be reported favorably with a committee substitute. Congratulations, Coach. Members, let's just take a temporary pause here. Oh, here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Representative Killebrew. Representative Killebrew, would you please present to us House Bill 1113, Use of Lights and Sirens on Emergency Vehicles?
Yes, ma'am, I will. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, catch your breath if you need to.
And members, HB 1113 will allow the vehicles that transport human organs for transplant may use lights and sirens to expedite the delivery. And that's the bill.
Thank you, Representative Killebrew. Members, do we have any questions on this good bill? Representative Killebrew, I see you have one amendment. You're recognized to explain to us amendment number 379399.
It replaces 34 through 63. Transport vehicles designated by an organ procedure organization or transplant center or a contracted service provider of such organization or center for the sole purpose of transporting organs or surgical teams for organ recovery and transplant may show or display red and white lights and operate sirens while en route to the hospital, airport, or other necessary locations. A vehicle operating lights or siren pursuant to this paragraph must be clearly marked to indicate its authorized purpose.
Thank you, Representative Killebrew, for presenting your amendment. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, do we have any public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none. That's the bill, not the amendment. Did I just do debate? Is there any debate on this amendment? Seeing none, Representative Killebrew, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close, ma'am.
Members, without any objection, I'm going to show that amendment adopted, and we're back on the bill as amended. I do have some public testimony.
I know.
Philip Doyle with NORA is here for information purposes. A supporter opposed, sir? Good choice. Mr. Doyle waves in support of the bill. Mr. Barney Bishop from Florida Smart Justice Alliance waves in support. Thank you, Mr. Bishop. That concludes our public testimony. Members, any debate on this bill? Representative Killebrew, I'll chime in. This is a great bill. Very easy for me to put this right on an amendment. It's an excellent bill. You worked hard on it, and I represent Sarasota. We got a tremendous amount of traffic, particularly during commute times, which seems to be when people are ready to receive an organ. So anything that we can do to get this precious life-saving resource to its recipient faster, we should do. So thank you for bringing this bill to us. With that, Representative Kilbrew, you recognize to close.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And, of course, time is of the essence, especially if it's you waiting on that organ. But it's who would have known that they don't have that opportunity? But now they will, and I'm sure it'll make a difference somewhere. And, by the way, has anybody ever seen Barney Bishop?
He's real. I've seen him.
Okay. All right. I'll close.
Thank you, Representative Kilbrew. Having closed, Margarita, please call the roll.
Representatives Andrade?
Yes.
Arrington?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Benson?
Yes.
Bearfield?
Absolutely yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Esposito? Harris?
Yes.
Hinson?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Nixon? Borras?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Chair McFarland?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Margarita. By your vote, members, House Bill 1113 will be reported favorably with committee substitute. Thank you, Representative Kilbrew. Happy Friday. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. Next up, members, we will take up PCS for House Bill 179 by Representative Bell, Towing and Storage. And as she makes her way, members, I'll remind you, we had an excellent two-hour workshop on the subject of towing, and Representative Bell has been working this bill not only diligently this session, but for many years. And as we've concluded our workshop, I'll remind you that we said this is the year that we're going to get towing done. So with that, Representative Bell, you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair McFarland, Vice Chair Baker, Ranking Member Henson, and committee members. This is the continuous of our towing legislation you approved in the committee last session. We worked through the summer and fall with the stakeholders and made and have attempted to craft legislation that will protect consumers and clarify ambiguous language in the statute, which has caused an issue and clamped down on bad actors in the towing industry. I would like to keep working on a couple of issues for the next committee, but this proposed committee substitute is an improvement over the bill filed last year. And that is my bill.
Thank you, Representative Bell. Having explained your bill, members, do we have any questions on the PCS? Ranking Member Henson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the bill. We certainly do need it. My question, though, is, and you put so much hard work into it, so just know I'm with you on this. I'm just wondering if this bill might actually prove more of a burden on the smaller tow storage operators, since it seems to shift a larger burden of identifying a towed vehicle's ownership to the person in charge of the towing service.
Representative Bell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for that question. We have taken in deep consideration of the small towing versus the large towing, and we have met with both businesses, small and large, and so I think we've come to in a middle ground, I would say, for that. I've got some very good friends back in my district that are smaller towers, so absolutely we've worked with the small towers.
Members, any further questions? Representative Stark, you're recognized.
Thank you, Representative Bell. My question is, obviously you mentioned that there could be some changes moving forward. So can you express, like, what some of those might be?
You're recognized, Representative Bell.
Okay. Thank you. Would you like for me to continue and go through the bill itself, through the PCS, or? Because, I mean, I have many changes.
Yeah, sure. Why don't you highlight some of the changes? I think Representative Stark, that might help if she walks through a couple.
That might be, and then I'll take questions after.
Yeah, so Representative Bell, you're recognized to walk us through perhaps some of the changes in the PCS versus the originally filed bill?
Yes.
Yeah, you're recognized.
Okay. We'll start with number one, the time frame from notice of lien. This is going to reduce the time frame of 5 business days for the towing storage operator to send the notice of lien and the storing charges for not providing notice. Number 2 would be the notice of lien before sell a vehicle. When they bring in a vehicle and they store it and nobody claims it, then they're able to sell this. So for vehicles 3 years of age or less, a notice of lien may be sent less than 60 days before the sell. The compromise is we wanted 65 days and the towers wanted 55 days, so we split the difference. Locating owner of lien holder, unsuccessful. If attempts to locate the vehicle or vessel owner are unsuccessful, the towing storage operator must contact the public agency or jurisdiction within 5 business days after the initial tow, excluding Saturdays, Sundays, and federal holidays. We move to the tower's position of 5 business days other than 3 days. And the third-party service cannot locate the vehicle or vessel owner. They must notify the towing storage operator. The towing storage operator then notifies law enforcement, and then law enforcement responds to the tower, and they must notify the third-party service. Vehicles inspection and release. Remember I talked last year about when your vehicle gets towed, they put it on, they tow it, they put it in their storage yard, then they may move it 3 or 4 times on the yard, they put a cover over it, and then they charge you for COVID fees. So this is what we're trying to do here. It says requires a towing and storage operator to make a towed vehicle available for inspection during regular business hours within 1 hour after arrival of a storage facility. So your vehicle gets towed and you have your car seat in the vehicle. You need your baby's car seat, so you're able to go and obtain that car seat. And then forms of payment or towers must accept. Remember, before it was only cash only. This is going to allow you to pay for cash, cashier's check, money orders or traveler's checks, bank, debit or credit cards, mobile payments this time, service digital wallet like electronic payments such as Zelle, PayPal, Venmo, Apple Pay or Google Pay. So I think that wraps it up. I mean, I could go through 5 or 6 more pages, but I think that's the gist of it.
Representative Andrade, you're recognizing questions.
Thank you very much, Chair. Representative Bell, there's a list of in the PCS, a list of paperwork that has to be accepted by a tower or operator that essentially proves ownership of the vehicle if an owner comes to that yard to come pick up their vehicle. My question is, without double-checking throughout the bill, for instance, like a paper title, if the paper title's in the vehicle, is the towing operator required to allow you to go access the vehicle to go pull that paper title if it's in the vehicle?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Yes, within after 1 hour, they're able to go and find that. And to elaborate on your bill, to keep on, to show proof of ownership or the lien, now we're going to change it where they can accept a email or a copy. They don't have to have this actual certified piece of paper in front of them or like a lien release.
Other question?
Okay, and just to clarify, if I show up at a yard, are they required to allow me to go to that vehicle that's within the yard and open it and go into the glove box and grab the title out if it's, for whatever reason, in the glove box?
Yes.
Okay.
Members, any further questions? Seeing none, we're going to move to amendments now. Ladies and gentlemen, I myself had filed an amendment to the PCS, so I'm going to take a pause and turn the gavel over to my vice chair, Vice Chair Baker. You have the con.
All right, thank you. Chair McFarland, you are recognized to explain Amendment A1.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, the amendment is passed out before you. It was filed late last night, so I'm just gonna take some time to step through. It's a very long amendment for ease of publishing, but I'll step through for everyone watching at home the changes against the PCS. So first off, it starts on line 99 of the PCS in subparagraph D. In the PCS, Representative Bell had given a provision for towers to be able to recover their costs in case of a hazmat cleanup, we're going to, in this amendment, we're going to add that they can also recover costs for non-hazmat cleanup. So if the, you know, if it's a sod truck that spills sod, sod is not hazardous, but it's still quite difficult for some of our towers to recover all that material. So we're going to allow them to recover those costs in a cost plus. So recover cost plus a little bit. I feel fine with that. Moving on, starting at line 165 of the current PCS, excuse me, this is the same thing. We're adding non-hazardous materials to that paragraph as well. We're moving on to line 388 of the PCS. This has to do with when a vehicle has been on the tower's lot for quite a long time. If it's an older model vehicle, which means, excuse me, a newer model vehicle can be sold within 57 days and 12 hours. The current bill, the PCS says 60. A newer model vehicle can be sold within 57 days of being on the lot. On line 395 of the current PCS, it says 60 days. We're going to change it to 55 days, and that's the amount of time that the tower has to issue notice before they sell that newer vehicle. On line 568 of the current bill, there was a little bit of confusion around when the tower has to release the vehicle. In the PCS, we said within 1 hour of the owner arriving at the towage lot. We're just going to say when they present paperwork, just in case you sit in the lot while you finish a call or something. And then on line 744, this is the section of the bill that details where the towing company has to post all of their rate structure. The bill provides that they post their rate structure in many, many places. And so we're going to remove the part where they have to post it with their local law enforcement agency. They already post it on the county's website upon request of the vehicle owner and putting it at the law enforcement agency. I didn't feel like gave any additional transparency that a consumer wouldn't otherwise have. So we're going to remove that from the bill. And members, that is the amendment.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, we will move into public testimony. There is some public testimony. Dennis Levine with the Florida Bar. You wish to speak?
I'm going to wave in support of this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Levine. And Mike Moore with Guardian Fleet Services. Waving in support. That concludes public testimony, and we will go on to debate. Is there any debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, Chair McFarland, you are recognized to... Oh, I'm sorry.
I was
Ranking Member Hinson, you're recognized.
After listening to the amendment, it's probably already in the bill. I'm not going to ask it as a question. I'm just going to bring it up as a concern. A person is in a car accident, they're in a coma for 60, 55 days, their car is sold. How do they remedy that?
Okay, is there any other debate, members? Seeing no more debate, Chair McFarland, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment is the result of some late night negotiations between various stakeholders. I appreciate everyone's diligent work on this and patience as it goes back and forth. To my ranking member's question, I will share that I as well have some concern in the bill as it's filed around the age of a vehicle. We differentiate between a newer vehicle versus an older vehicle, and the line between newer versus older is 3 years. Well, I don't own any cars that are within 3 years of year, and I would like to be able to recover my vehicle within, within 30 days. That's more than 30. I want more than 30 days to be able to recover my vehicle. It's been sold. But what I'll share with you after protracted conversations with many areas of the towing industry is that there is no better proxy that we could come up with than that three-year dividing line. And what often happens for these towers is I'm sure they'll share with us in public testimony is they pick up a car that's been in a terrible accident. In your example, if you're in a coma, it's probably a pretty bad wreck. And they know that there's no value left on that car. The insurance company doesn't care about it. The owner, you know, it's a total loss. and it's easier for that the vehicle owner, whether it's me, my insurance company, or whomever, it's easier for that car to just get sold and move on. And so with these changes, we want to allow that tower to move the vehicle quickly. And that's what the result of both this bill reflects it greatly, and these amendments tweak it slightly, but that's the general provision. And with that, I close.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted, and I will hand the gavel back to Chair McFarland.
Thank you, Vice Chair. We're back on the PC as amended. I'm now moving into public testimony. We've got none, just kidding. All right, first up, Mr. Mike Moore, representing Guardian Fleet Services. He waves in support. Dennis Levine, a proponent of the bill, representing the Florida Bar. Members, we last talked to Mr. Levine when he was in Italy, so thank you for being here in person, and sorry it's not as great as Italy. You're recognized.
Chair McFarland, members of the committee, my name is Dennis Levine. I've been an attorney for 40 years. Our firm represents a number of auto lenders, and the bulk of my practice in the last 5 years has been fighting fraudulent lien sales by towing companies and repair shops. I'm here today on behalf of the Florida Bar's Business Law Section. I want to thank Representative Bell, Chairman McFarland, and especially the staff for working with me on this bill. The proposed substitute is intended to close loopholes in towing storage statutes, protect owners, lenders, and insurers. As a reminder from the workshop, under Florida law, when a towing company tows a car and the bill's not paid, they can send out a notice saying that this is the amount it's owed and set a lien sale date. And if nobody appears at the lien sale date, then generally the tower's there, they bid a dollar and they get the car, and they then submit the paperwork to the DMV and they get a free and clear title. So coincidentally, this happens a lot in my practice. So there's an incentive for towing companies to delay inspection and release of vehicles, to run out the clock so the vehicle can be sold out from under the rightful owner, the lender, or the insurer. I could tell you horror stories all day about the creative tactics of some of the bad actors to run out the clock so they can, what I term, steal cars, expensive cars, over towing bills as small as $400. This PCS is an effort to stop these schemes by bad actors and make it easier for people to get their vehicles back. I'd like to use the remainder of my time to briefly discuss some issues that I believe the legislature should consider adding to the bill as the process goes on at the appropriate time. First, in my practice, I've seen bad actors use lien foreclosures on vehicles for storage, using the landlord-tenant statute or the warehouse statute. And I've seen these statutes being used. In fact, I got a case yesterday on a notice under, not under this statute 71378, but under another statute that doesn't really have any protections, where somebody says, I want $19,000 in storage fees for this car or I'm going to sell it. Our recommendation is that liens on motor vehicles, when they're foreclosed for storage, should use the statute 71378, and that's one of the things that I'm going to urge you to do. I will note that the committee last session in the bill they passed did include some provisions in that regard. Second and most important, I want to recommend clarification of the existing bond language in the towing statute in 71378 sub 5. Right now there's a reference to posting a bond, but there are significant holes. And the first hole is that there's no process for a towing company to make a claim on that bond if they want to make a claim on the bond that's posted by the consumer or the lender who posts the bond, gets a certificate from the clerk, brings it to the shop, they have to give you the car. There's no process by which the towing company can make a claim on the bond. That's the first problem. Second problem is that there's no delineation of any consequence to a towing company if they don't release the vehicle when they're presented with a certificate. I had a case last week where I got a bond posted, my agent took it to the towing company said, not giving you the car. Well, unfortunately, the way the statute's written now, there's no consequence to that, as there is in the repair shop statute, where it specifically says if you don't surrender the car, a upon being given that certificate of release after a bond's posted, it's a crime. There's no consequence at all. Third, the statute as written is confusing as to whether an owner or a lender has to file a lawsuit before posting a bond. Some counties, the clerk says, you have to file a lawsuit, Mr. Levine, before I can accept your bond. In other counties, they don't require that. So that needs to be clarified, I think, so that a lawsuit is not required before posting a bond, making the process easier for consumers to post bonds. The last part of the statute that's in there now is you have to file a lawsuit within 10 days of finding out where the car is. Well, if you're a lender, by the time that notice makes its way into the impound department, it's generally way past 10 days. There's a court that said that that's not jurisdictional, but again, it's in the statute. In my view, it doesn't make sense. So we have language which makes clarifications and improvements, but would not shift the burden to the towers to make a claim on the bond. Our language says that if a consumer or lender posts a bond, that consumer or lender has to do something within a certain period of time or they automatically forfeit the bond to the tower. To be sure, not all towing and storage companies are bad actors. Most of them that I deal with are legitimate, fair businesses, and they want the same thing. They want to get paid for towing and storage and move on. And that's what my clients want to do. They want to pay for their towing and storage charge and get their car back. Unfortunately, the bad actors throw up a lot of issues to preclude us from doing that, and that's what some of the changes in this bill we recommend. So the business law section of the Florida Bar asks for you to support the PCS, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Levine. Next up, we have Sam Morley, Florida Press Association, is an opponent of the bill.
Florida Press Association. Our members include not just the Daily Metros, but also the many dozens of local community papers, free distributed papers around the state. I've had a chance to talk to Representative Bell about our concerns. I think the bill seems like a great piece of legislation. There's just a couple of lines that we'd like to see addressed. That is where the newspaper notice is being taken out. We think it is lots of good policy reasons. I had a couple of pages, so I was going to talk to you about those today, but I would like to talk to Representative Bell first. This arose in the last amendment in the PCS. It wasn't in the original bill where the newspaper notice was retained. So it's gone now. We'd like to put it back in, and so I can address those concerns at the next stop if need be. Otherwise, we'd like to work further with the representative to put that notice back in for citizens and others that rely on keeping an eye on this sort of process. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Morley. Next up, we have Mike Seaman for Professional Record Operator of Florida. Sir, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I'd like to say, and I'll be brief, that it's been great working with staff and Representative Bell, and there's a few issues. But we got two more stops, and we feel confident that it will get worked out and be good for the consumer and not be hurtful for the towing industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Seaman, for your confidence in us. Next up, we have Mr. David Custin, Beach Towing Services, waves in opposition. Mr. Eric DeCampos, National Insurance Crime Bureau, is a proponent of the bill. Mr. DeCampos, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. My name is Eric DeCampos. I represent the National Insurance Crime Bureau. NICB is a nonprofit organization that works with state and local law enforcement and member insurance companies to detect, prevent, and deter insurance crimes, and that includes predatory towing. Just want to quickly say thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today, and also to Rep. Bell for introducing this bill. So auto accidents remain a significant issue for policymakers all across the country. And it's these high-stress situations that create the perfect opportunity for unscrupulous towers to take advantage of accident victims. NICB has seen examples of these bad actors, these few bad apples in the larger bunch, charge exorbitant fees, sometimes as high as thousands upon thousands of dollars, just for a routine tow down the road or to sweep up a little bit of glass and some vehicle fluid that was spilled on the ground. In addition, we've seen these bad actors also delay notifying vehicle owners that their vehicles have been towed. and holding those vehicles hostage until all bills have been paid, all the while racking up significant storage fees. Moreover, these bad actors have also been known to tack on vague fees such as gate fees, transfer fees, and charge excessive administrative fees. And this is why NICB strongly supports House Bill 179, because it will create important consumer protections that will protect Floridians against predatory towing. And just to highlight a few of the benefits here, the reasonable fees that this bill will create will ensure that consumers won't be faced with these inflated tow bills costing thousands of dollars. Requiring towers to accept multiple forms of payments ensures that consumers have the flexibility to pay their bills and to ensure that towers will get paid for the money that they're owed. Reducing the notice of lien period will provide consumers with the ability to have their vehicles released much more quickly, and also extending the period before a vehicle can be placed up for auction or sold by a tower will also allow vehicle owners to have their vehicles released. In addition, I do want to note that there's still some work that does need to be done with regards to this bill that can help consumers or protect consumers from having their vehicles held hostage or even sold without their knowledge, and that includes addressing some clarifications around the bonding provision and statute. But with that in mind, we respectfully request the committee's favorable support for this bill. We'd like to thank the committee again for the opportunity to speak today and for considering our views as you deliberate the merits of this bill. Thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. DeCampos. Next up, we have Candace Erics representing JM Family Enterprises, waves in support. Dwayne Sheard, Enterprise Mobility, is a proponent of the bill. Mr. Sheard, you're recognized.
Morning. First, I'd like to thank Representative Bell for introducing this bill and Chair McFarland for hearing me this morning. My name is DeJuan Sherrard. I work for Enterprise Mobility. It's a new name, code name for Enterprise Rent-A-Car National in Alamo in South Florida, and I oversee governmental affairs for the state of Florida. We're in strong support of this bill. I employ a four-person department that around the clock just really works impounds and all of our towed vehicles daily. And we spend countless hours and countless dollars fighting against the bad actors who really just overcharge us because they know that we can pay. And as has been said before, you know, I don't think that this bill hurts the towing industry, but it does close a lot of loopholes and it reduces the amount of bad actors that are out there. We still want the towing industry to be able to make money. Obviously, we want to save where we can, but my concern really is the average consumer and the small business owner who doesn't have the ability or the money to fight some of the issues that we've experienced. In addition, as Mr. Levine, I think, mentioned earlier in regards to the bond language, we support that as well. It's extremely difficult for us to be able to fight, or it takes a lot of time for us to be able to fight to get our car out of impound. And to file a bond to be able to get it out has proved to be burdensome to us. So we support that as well. Thank you for hearing me this morning.
Thank you, Mrs. Sherrard. Next up, we have James Jennings, Guardian Fleet Services. Sir, you are recognized.
Good morning. I wanted to hear just say thank you very much, Chairman McFarland and representatives. And to this Bell here. I'm in support of the bill. I'm with Guardian Fleet Services and Emerald Transportation in South Florida. I wanted to thank Chairman McFarland for burning the midnight oil, for keeping all the cats wrangled together, and for keeping us all, keeping our eye on the ball and getting this compromise and getting this done. I know that this bill is going to be good for the industry. It's going to be good for the consumer. And it's a good thing to see that we're able to work together. I know we have a few issues coming up. We have a few stops along the way, like Mike said. But I just wanted to say thank you very much to everyone, and thank you for your support, and thank you for bringing this to us.
Thank you, Mr. Jennings. Next up, we have Sean Loscalzo from Guardian Fleet Services. Sir, you're recognized.
Good morning, Madam Chair and representatives. To begin, I want to thank Chairman McFarland and Melanie Bell, Representative Bell, for bringing this to light and working on this so hard, this PCS. We look forward to bringing this bill to a point down the road in the legislative process That being said, we can stand in support of this bill as we believe it will improve and strengthen the tow industry and most importantly, protect the motoring public. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Elskowski. Next up, Tanner Warwick, Associated Industries of Florida, waves in support. Ms. Kelly Millett, Gannett, representing Gannett Media Services, Gannett Media Group, is an opponent of the bill. Waves in opposition. Mr. Doug Bell, representing Avis Budget Rental Cars, a proponent of the bill. Waves in support wisely. Mr. Mike Moore, representing Guardian Fleet Services, is a proponent of the bill. Waves in support as well. Thank you. Members, this concludes our public testimony, I believe. Any more public testimony? Members, any debate? Representative Andrade, you recognize in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative Bell, you're very patient in dealing with this issue. But there's, from my perspective, there's three different interests that should be represented in this bill. And I believe that there are two interests that are absolutely doing a very good job of representing themselves in related to this policy. That's the towing companies and storage companies. That's the car rental companies. I believe that this is a great proposal, and it seems as if everyone's kind of finding the common ground. But my bigger concern is for the consumers, the one-off folks who've never dealt with these folks before, aren't doing it on a day-to-day basis on one side or the other, and what their experience, their user experience is going to be when they just need to get their one vehicle they own back so they can get to work. And that's going to continue to be my concern, just in the fact that, you know, right now there is still, I mean, if you're a layperson, you're not going to go pull up the statute to figure out what your rights are. You're either going to call the towing company, and we need to make sure that towing company is responsible to inform them appropriately, or you're going to call a lawyer, or you're going to go to your county clerk's office. I believe that towing companies absolutely always deserve to get paid a fair amount for the services they provide. And I've, in the process of discussing this bill, there are a couple other examples, like when a storage yard is forced by a law enforcement agency to store a vehicle for evidence for exorbitant periods of time. I'm not sure if they're getting compensated enough or not right now. But on the flip side, as a consumer, you know, I believe that they deserve as much certainty as possible in the simplest, most easy to communicate method as possible. And from my perspective, one of those methods would be to just clarify that bond language that was in your original bill and just say, you can go to a clerk's office, post that bond, and trade out the security for the companies that deserve to get paid. Trade out the security of a vehicle they have to store with some documents that they can then go pursue. It's the same dollar amount security for the towing company. Should protect the towing company the same way. I care far less about who files that lawsuit. I just want to have as much certainty as possible for the layperson consumer who's going to go through this once or twice maybe in their life and have a really bad experience. But I think you're doing a very good job of balancing the interest between insurance companies, the vehicle lenders, the car rental companies, and the towing companies right now, and I just want to commend you for all the work you're doing.
Thank you, Representative Andrade. Representative Stark, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. Bell, better you than me because this is a tough issue. This is a lot of work, and I commend you for taking the time and, like Rep. Andrade said, the patience to do it. I think this is very, very needed. I hope that moving forward to some of the little glitches that are maybe still of concern gets, you know, shifted over into the final bill. But I also, this may be a little tongue-in-cheek, but I also want to express, because I have a towing company that's a constituent that has had an issue, and so I've been trying to help them behind the scenes. Part of our problem, in my opinion, is that even the people who work in our motor vehicles and safety, they don't even understand how to read some of the things that we put in statutes. So when these people go to them for help, it's so ambiguous, they never really get a direct answer. And so that becomes a problem. And that may be happening in our clerk's office. I know it's happening in our clerk's office as well, because they started there and then they went to motor vehicles. So I personally would like for us to address having some kind of talking points to new statutes that gets disseminated to all of those organizations so they can talk to these issues appropriately, whether it's from our towing companies or whether it's from a constituent that is trying to solve a problem, because I think sometimes that's our breakdown. And I just wanted to add that to, I think we need to do a better job of people understanding when we change things, so it may solve some problems.
Thank you, Representative Stark. Representative Lopez, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I think one of my problems, to piggyback on Representative Andrade's comments, is the consumer. So I'm going to use myself. I parked in front of the shul that I was visiting in my district, and I got towed. It had no signage at all. I had no idea what to do at that moment. It didn't say the towing company that has the contract to pick up cars in that particular zone. It didn't have any way for me to contact them. If it had not been for the rabbis, who've had so many of their congregants have their cars towed, they were outside trying to figure it out themselves. So I had two rabbis outside, myself, me calling the city, and only because I am who I am, I knew who to call in the city. And I said, okay, who has my car? And they said, well, that particular zone is. And I think we have to somewhat recognize, like, the consumer has no idea what's going on here. Yes, this is a great bill, and Rep. Bell, I really commend you. Better you than me. But I do think that somewhere along the line, we have to tell local governments that when they enter into contracts with these towing companies or whoever's entering into the contract for that particular towing company to pick up the car, there has to be signage. It's like my parking lot bill. Consumers have to know what's happening and where do they call and go to in order to pick up their car. And the signage is just, you know, there was no signage in my case. If not for the rabbis who called three towing companies and finally said, oh, your car's over there, go get it. And I thought to myself, my goodness, in my district that is so dense and everybody's always being towed in my district in the urban area of Miami, I think we ought to start, you know, kind of mandating signage for consumers. You know, wherever your car is, whoever is going to pick up that car, there has to be signage that says your, you know, towing company's name and telephone number. And I think that would have given me, you know, kind of the information that I needed and would have created less chaos on the street that day. So those are my comments. I hope moving forward maybe you can include that, because local governments do enter into these contracts, and that's great, but none of the consumers know what to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lopez. And I'm reminded how all roads seem to lead to Miami in this committee. Ranking Member Hinson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I thank you for the work you put into this. I literally commend you, because I've just tried to do a city ordinance and facilitate all these different industries, and it was horrendous. And to do this statewide has got to be a Trojan's job. Like they say, better you than me. I just commend you for taking this on, and it's never going to be perfect, but to get started is a good thing. Thank you.
Members, any further debate? Seeing none. Sorry, I want a debate. folks, this is the bill's first. It doesn't feel this way, but it's the first committee stop for this bill. It goes next to civil justice, which is an entirely appropriate venue to work through some of these issues on investigatory holds, the parallels with our statute on distressed property or storage unit or repair shops. There's more work ahead of us. We've gotten it to a great place today with the brilliant work of Representative Bell and all of the stakeholders who themselves have burned the midnight oil. I have to give tremendous support and appreciation to my policy chief, Meredith Hinchelwood. I don't think anyone has put more hours in on this bill besides her at Saturdays and Sundays, and I think she, you know, she thinks towing now. We've got other bills going on, but she thinks towing now. We've got more work to do. I think we can feel pleased with the current place that the statute is in, and this is part of our committee process, folks. We look at different aspects of the bill at each committee, and we negotiate, and you can sort of see some of the sausage being made as how we debate and negotiate on parts of law, and I think this is a great example of it. With that, Representative Bell, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And
First of all, I'd like to say I hear you. I hear each and every one of you. And as she said, this is our first stop. So on the second one, you know, we will entertain, you know, amendments on our second one to make sure that we get this right. But also hear the consumers. I also hear the tow companies. I also hear the lease companies. This has been, like somebody said, sausage in making. So thank you, Chair McFarland. Thank you to our staff. Thank you to the stakeholders that has worked with me for the past couple of years trying to get this across. This is a consumer-friendly bill, and that's what we need to think of, our citizens of the state of Florida. Think about if you were traveling here from Italy or from out of state, you're in Miami, and you get your vehicle towed. What do you do? We want cash only. We want $7,800. We want it now if you want your vehicle. So we've taken a lot of things out of this to make the bill better. In the next couple of weeks, you're going to see thousands of trucks heading to California. My husband will be in one of those trucks going that way. We send 14 semis to California for bee pollination. I hope and pray that none of the vehicles or the semi-trucks get in a wreck. It did happen to us 2 years ago. A whole truck of semi-bees turned over. What do you do? That's a hazmat situation. The tow company did not have the suits. They had to call in local beekeepers. We got the bill. It was $48,000 to clean up our bees. They took volunteer beekeepers from the area to clean up the bill, to clean up the bees. So, but we were billed that. The tow companies, the hazmat companies, they didn't go out there. The beekeepers did it. So following these fees back to what the city, the municipalities, the counties, the state has set is what we need to do. They just can't throw prices out there. So this is back to a consumer-friendly bill. Thank you, Representative Andre. I appreciate you. And I know that you and I will be able to work forward on this surety bond issue. And thank you to all of your comments, all the reps sitting here. I appreciate you. And please, you know, come see me if you have concerns and as we will work through this. But Chair McFarland, I appreciate you so much. Thank you. And I will close.
Thank you. Representative Bell, having closed on her bill, Margarita, please call the roll.
Representative Sandrade.
Yes.
Harrington?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Verfield?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Hinson?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Nixon? Porras?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Chair McFarland?
Yes.
18 yays, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Margarita. Members, by your vote, PCS for House Bill 179 will be reported favorably with committee substitute. Congratulations, Representative Bell. All right, members, I am going to turn the gavel back over to my vice chair. I'm going to present a tremendously exciting proposed committee bill.
Thank you. We saved the best for last. We will now take up proposed committee bill TMS 24-01 relating to transportation by Chair McFarland. Chair McFarland, you are recognized to explain the PCB.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members. The speaker's charge to me when I when he first asked me to chair this committee was to ask about our number of metropolitan planning organizations. We have 27 of them. We have more than any other state in the country, even if you cut it by capita per capita. He was concerned about that number. And wanted me to validate it. And he also wanted to know if we have the right planning infrastructure in place to serve the needs of our state over the next 30 years. Well, this PCB that you see before you is a result of over a year's work of work. Interviews with your own local MPOs, talking to constituents, hearing the concerns that come through this committee. A lot of what's in this bill will not make headlines. It's pretty bureaucratic and boring. But it'll make significant improvements in the way our transportation bureaucracy does their planning, accountability, and oversight practices. And there's a couple fun things in there, too. So here's what this PCB will do. It updates our legislative intent for metropolitan planning organizations. It charges them to focus on multimodal transportation instead of just surface transportation. and has them focus on the mobility needs of people and freight while balancing conservation of natural resources. It's time to update their planning requirements to focus on what we care about, which is conserving natural resources and reducing congestion rather than things like managing outdoor advertising. It also creates a moratorium on the formation of new MPOs that are contiguous to existing MPOs. Excitingly, it creates a system of MPO accountability. Today, your MPO makes a long-range transportation plan. It's reviewed for completion, for spelling and for grammar and for financial soundness, and then it sits on a shelf and gathers dust. This bill requires DOT to make sure that there's productive flow and connectivity across the state and across the MPO boundaries, because today, while planning sometimes halts at a county line, our tires sure don't. If MPO's long-range transportation plans are not focusing connectivity across regions, then DOT can return it to them and say, do better, do it over. It requires DOT to create quality performance metrics, just not just quantitative. For performance metrics, things like congestion, utilization rate of existing infrastructure, resident satisfaction, and then based on those metrics to create a grade, a score, to happen annually. Going forward, each MPO will publish that performance score for all their residents to see, and then every 3 years, MPOs who are consistently failing are gonna get taken over by the Secretary of the Department of Transportation for a period not to exceed 1 year, until the secretary can put the right people and plans and structures in place to ensure the MPO gets back on track. One of the things that the secretary will consider is whether consolidation with a neighboring MPO is appropriate. And as for a carrot, the top performing MPO will get a straight $5 million to spend on whichever of their projects they'd like, and they can also represent Florida at any national level conference. The bill repeals the Metropolitan Planning Organization Advisory Council, but it retains what's good about that council, which is when they get together and exchange best practices across MPOs of similar size and density. We're also gonna institute a training program for new board members, MPO board members, to be carried out by our preeminent Cutter I Street centers. It requires by the end of October for DOT to review the boundaries of each of our 7 FDOT districts to determine whether district boundaries should be redrawn as a result of the population growth. We all went through redistricting. I think our district should too. And very excitingly, it requires by October for the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles to redesign the state license plate, which hasn't been touched in over 20 years and actually has a website listed on it, if anyone's ever noticed that. Members, that is the bill.
Thank you, Chair McFarland. Are there any questions on the PCB? Representative Arrington, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Chair. Representative McFarland. My question's in regards to the MPO portions. Excuse me. And I was up late reading this last night, as you can probably hear from my voice. And we're discussing trying to get more, I guess, coordination between them two. But my understanding from reading this is that we're eliminating the regional coordination language. So just trying to figure out how we are trying to coordinate if we're removing that language to ensure that MPOs use consistent data.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Arrington. I think if I've removed any call to coordinate, it's perhaps because I've attempted to tighten up portions of statute. I'll spend some time on what we learned as we had conversations around the state. The way that our MPOs are structurally organized, it encourages almost like inward rice bowl looking. So even in my own region, as we thought about if it was appropriate for MPOs to consolidate, we have a couple single county MPOs in my area. There's no incentive for MPOs to consolidate today. You lose, your municipalities will lose board seats. You lose perhaps having the physical office building in your own district. And it becomes very territorial at the local level. And even the greatest public servant with the best intentions, there's not a structural incentive for those MPOs to consolidate or frankly really to plan regionally. You may have heard from your own MPOs, I know we have several local government people who have served in local government before, when you sit on that MPO board, you are fighting for your MPO's dollars to be spent in your city. Maybe your city really wants a bike lane, but you're the smallest city and you only have one board seat, and so you have to wait 5 years before you can get $100,000 for a bike lane, whereas a larger city north of you has more board seats and more sway on the board, so the money is going to go to that larger city, and all they want to do is pave things. That doesn't encourage consistent flow between cities, even within one MPO. Forget when we get to multiple MPOs across the region. So I apologize if it appears as though I've removed any regional planning focus. I think I've amped it up.
Follow up? You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And in the same vein, why are we eliminating the MPO Advisory Council?
You're recognized, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative, I think, you know, you guys are clued into it. I have a grave concern for accountability that is only, oversight that is only oversight on paper, that doesn't provide any oversight. Our MPO Advisory Council, we require our MPOs and a staff of, I think there's six. They spend a little under $1 million every year. People travel, they get together. And as I asked each member of this MPO Advisory Council, like, what benefit do you get out of it? I heard the things like getting together to exchange best practices, but the large MPOs didn't really feel that they had very much to share with the small MPOs. And the small MPOs were looking at the massive resources for, say, Miami-Dade County and thinking that they were existing in like a totally different universe. So I would prefer to keep the good things from the Advisory Council and then remove a meaningless government body that has to travel to meet at whatever periodicity and not really provide any benefit.
Additional follow-up, you're recognized, Representative Arrington.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And on a different note, on the license plate redo, which is exciting, I remember forever ago, when I was in the transportation business, we talked about doing like the flat license plate. Is that still something on the table? I know that's better for the cameras or anything like that. So I just thought it was a great time to ask if you knew anything. I'm sure you worked on that too.
Recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. Apparently, a couple of years there was a contest for our residents to submit designs, and there's some really cool ones. There's some really terrible ones too, but there's some really great ones that I've been looking over as I worked on this idea. The bill is silent on telling highway safety how to take the hill. We're just going to tell them to take the hill. We're going to tell them to replace the license plate. I personally would love to have a vote on the redesign. I don't love the flat plate. I like the touch and the feel of it. We have, I think, prioritized that they focus on legibility and safety and all these good things. So perhaps that's where they'll end up. But if anyone's looking for my input, I would prefer to stay with the raised numbers.
Follow up? Members, are there any more questions? Representative Andrade? You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair McFarland, I just had one question about my specific Florida Alabama TPO, because there's members from Alabama who serve on it. Is there any concern at all about the Florida DOT secretary having the authority to take it over in that context, or has that been considered yet?
You're recognized, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Andrade, the TPOs versus MPOs, the bill is not going to touch the TPOs. Like, I want to encourage the TPOs to plan regionally. I actually was not aware that they coordinate across state lines, but that's exactly, I mean, I think I made it clear that's exactly what I want to encourage. I'll check back with DOT, but to the extent that I'm aware today, I wouldn't touch your cross-state TPO.
Follow up, Representative? Representative Mello, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, we are looking at Lee and Collier counties to submit a report for the feasibility of consolidation into a single MPO. It looks like it is, the deadline is February 2025. Will we have access to that study, and will there be a presentation potentially in the next session?
You're recognized, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Mello, we've worked on this before. Our own Representative Esposito in her bill last year ordered several MPOs to do this exact same thing. We just received the study from them. I hope to chair transportation next session, but obviously I can make no promises to that, but it is a report that will be delivered to the legislature, and that hopefully will include you and me.
Follow-up? Ranking Member Hinson, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have two questions. I've sat on the MTPO in our area. It's countywide. There's a representative from every county making decisions about the overall county. Is that something you're encouraging?
You're recognized, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the MPO board composition is, there's federal guidance on what that board composition will look like. I think our MPO board structure is adequate. Like, I think it's sufficient. It's correct that we have a representative of each local government, you know, flow up to that body. It's this number of seats is proportional to the number of people in the geographic area. I don't want to dilute that, but as perhaps in the future our MPOs get bigger, we ought to look at increasing the board size so that each city has a seat at the table, or each, you know, local government has a seat at the table.
You are recognized, Ranking Member, for a follow-up question.
It's another question. I noticed that all specific references to environmental accountability, such as promoting energy conservation and minimizing air pollution, historic preservation, mitigation of water pollution, these things seem to have been eliminated. We are left with vague language about balancing conservation of natural resources. Since these are usually locally based, are most often intimately aware of environmental needs, why is this language being eliminated?
You're recognized, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ranking Member Hinson, my intent is not to deprioritize our natural resources or environment, but just to put the requirements with the proper body. Even the best planner, it's difficult for them to control like CO2 emissions or some of the things that we're removing from the bill. Though laudable to focus on those things, it's not really within the MPO's ability to plan against those things. What the MPO can do is take a closer look at whether they should pave it or leave it wild.
Is it your intention then to move these to like a DEP, or how do you plan to implement that?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ranking Member, since this, since our charge to MPOs, the current law on the books today, when that was first written, DEP did not have such a prominent role in the PD&E process. So we've heard a couple times from the Secretary of DOT, and we even had a whole session on how they plan for environmental. Those checks and that process was not as strong when this section of law was written as it is today. DEP has a seat at the table for every project at the planning and development environmental stage. If there are ways that we can beef that up and make it better, I'm all in. My own area had to do a stop work and a redesign after an environmental concern had them move a bridge by, like, you know, 500 feet. Would have been great to identify that when the plans were first being drawn and not waiting until after we had broken ground. So I'm all in if you've got ideas, Ranking Member.
Members, are there any further questions? Representative Escamani, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you so much, Vice Chair, and thank you, Chair. I just have quick questions with lines 195 to 196, and then 342 to 345, just some of the additions and removals. And so your energy conservation is scratched off and replaced with, natural resources maybe. And then in 342, 345, you have really strong additions around, you know, integration of advanced air mobility, autonomous electric vehicles, so forth. But then historic preservation, mitigation of water pollution due to highway runoff, and control of outdoor advertising is crossed off. I know that section starts with including but not limited to, so hypothetically can still be expanded. But I'm curious just what were the decision-making process in making those switches?
You're recognized, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Escamani, the ability for planners to promote energy conservation is quite limited. I think as we have conversation about energy conservation, it has to deal with, like, vehicle type or fuel source or things like that. I don't think it is as I was discussing with Representative Arrington, like, I don't think that that is the right requirement to put at an engineering planner who is perhaps thinking about, like, should this be a four-lane highway or should it be a rail or something. As for removing historic preservation, mitigation of water pollution, and outdoor advertising, it's the same line of thinking. Perhaps you feel different, but it's not important for me to a planner to care about outdoor advertising. Historic preservation, again, like, that fits strongly within Department of State and less so with a transportation planner at our MPO level. Now, I mean, I'm certain that Ranking Member Hinson, when she served on her MPO, had no interest in knocking down a historic building to put, I mean, anything driving through there. So I think that even though we're striking it from the bill, I don't believe that we're striking it from the level of importance to a local community.
Is there a follow-up? Members, any further questions? Seeing no more questions, are there any amendments to the PCB? Seeing no amendments, we will now move into public testimony. Is there public testimony on the PCB? And we have Ms. Casey Welch. Mr. Casey Welch, I apologize, USF. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, committee. Say Casey Welch, University of South Florida, here representing the Center for Urban Transportation Research. I want to publicly thank Chair McFarland and staff for working with us to update the statute. The center was created in 1988. I want to continue to make sure that it is a resource for the state of Florida, and just want to thank the chair for her work. Thank you.
Thank you. And next we have Lisa Bucco from the Florida Public Transportation Association. You are recognized.
Thank you for allowing me to be here today. The only section I'm concerned about is the termination of the MPOAC. We work very well with the members and the staff. In fact, they have they're on my board. They have a seat on my board, and we find them very useful. And so I would encourage you to keep them in statute. Thank you.
And that concludes public testimony. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the PCB? Representative Arrington, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for answering our questions. You always do a great job presenting your bills. I still am a little concerned about the MPO stuff. From an area like mine, some of our members here are Central Florida, and, you know, when I ran for office, it was interesting filling out those surveys, what was important that you thought was a local decision, a regional decision, and a state decision. And I would say for transportation stuff, I feel so strongly that it is a regional decision, and love that my county has a seat at the table. And I know the folks that have the seat at the table for us and that they fight for us. So I really would like some more time to talk with you and to talk to my local MPOs, but love all the other parts of the bill, especially the license plate and the redistricting, and think that that's really great. Thank you.
Ranking Member Hinson, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, I did sit on the MTPO, and I know we are very concerned about many things. And we know our community best. A local community knows what's best for their community, including historic preservation, if that happens to sit in the line of our eyesight in terms of what we need for transportation. I don't know why we're interfering with this. It seems like another local preemption. We've done a lot of that. We're taking decisions away from the people who know their community best. I don't know how this is going to flow in terms of your consolidation. I will be watching it, but I have sent the bill to the chair of our MTPO. I want to talk to them about how they feel about this before it gets to the floor. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Burfield, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair McFarland, I'd like to thank you for the forward-leaning approach that you're taking. I think that as we look forward into our state's future, one of the things we really have to do is look at it holistically. Because there will come a point where we don't have the opportunity to take advantage or leverage the resources in which we have, whether it be specifically in a community or within a region. And so I think the steps that you're taking today really provide us an opportunity to see some positive outcomes that will produce positive time travel for us as far as our transit is concerned and ease for our constituents. So thank you very much for your efforts.
Members, is there any more debate? Representative Escamani, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Vice Chair. And I want to say just thank you, Chair McFarland, for your work on this. Thoughtful changes. And so I really like the bill. I do want to talk to my MPO just to make sure they're okay with it and see what questions they have. To echo Rep. Arrington, we're in the Central Florida area. So our MPO actually is regional, which is awesome. And I would argue maybe an example for others to follow. But I do want to make sure I talk to them before I give a vote on this. So unfortunately, I'll be a soft no. But I am very hopeful that once I get to touch base with them, I'll be able to change that vote. So thank you, Chair.
Members, any more debate? Representative Bankston, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for working on this great bill. I actually had opportunity to serve as an alternate on our MPO in the past, and some of the concerns that I saw are being addressed right here. So I think it's tremendous. Of course, with AAM and looking at the future, I actually brought that up about 4 years ago on the MPO there, and being cognitive of what that can bring to us transportationally. I think this is tremendous, the coordination that you're bringing, the training, and the incentive. I think those are three key positives on this, and I look forward to seeing this go through the process. Thank you.
Representative Harris, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. I think I will feel more comfortable voting up if I know that you would be working with Representative Henson and Representative Arrington to address some of our concerns with the MPO portion of the bill, because the bill itself has so many good things in it, and I think there's opportunity to just improve on it a little bit more. And so if you're willing to have those conversations with Rep. Henson and Rep. Arrington, I think I can vote up today in hopes that when we see it again, it's already a good bill, it'll be a better bill.
Is there any more debate? Seeing no further debate, Chair McFarland, you are recognized to close on your PCB.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, I'll attempt to assuage some concerns in my close here. I mentioned that this was the result of a year's long worth of work. I kind of feel like I went on a listening tour. It was kind of virtual because I had a baby. But I talked to Rep. Andrade, I didn't spend much time in the panhandle, but I talked to almost all of your MPOs and your TPOs, and MetroPlan was like actually a great source of ideas. And when I worked as a management consultant, we used to say all the good ideas are already existing in the building. And as I talked to the executive directors and the Broward County TPO in particular, as I talked to your MPO staff, and I said, what's been bugging you about the MPO infrastructure? So many people almost had like a little notebook in their back pocket and were like, oh, I'm so glad you're asking. And this is a result of the listening tour. It's admittedly completely imperfect. Like, this is a big bowl of spaghetti and I'm gonna throw it on the wall. This is the first committee stop. I'm certain that not all of this is gonna stick. I'm also certain we're gonna add some more ideas. We had a great conversation with the Florida Transportation Commission, and I have some more ideas that I want to work on with that commission, with your guys' help as well. So please do. I mean, it's Friday. Go home and talk to your MPOs. I'm sure they're all listening. But go talk to your MPOs and tell them what their feedback is. There were some great ideas that I couldn't quite bring to a solution. If they have ideas that are still on the table that I couldn't land the plane on, bring their voices to the table. I hope they'll reach out to me as well, but this is why we represent our districts, right? Like, you all are gonna carry the voice of what's important to your region up here. Now, sometimes we're gonna disagree with them. That's just gonna be a fact. You'll notice that on the performance metrics, one of the things that was important to me was utilization rate of public infrastructure. I've seen cases, and this is certainly not to malign anyone, but I've seen cases of a MPO that the board is like super keen on the cool thing of the moment. Like, maybe it's a bike lane, so they build all these bike lanes and then the utilization rate is like 1%. And to me, that's an indication of you're not building something that your constituents value. Maybe you'd value that because you love biking, but it's, you're not meeting your constituents where their needs are. That utilization rate will show that. And that's one of the things that I want to start to flush out a little bit more. That's why I emphasize so much the quality metrics, not just quantitative metrics, that we use to evaluate long-range transportation plans or transportation improvement plan, the LRTP, the TIP, and the STIP. I want to try to infuse a little bit more quality investigation into those, and I think that's entirely consistent with what you all are saying. If the number one priority of your MPO is historic preservation, then that's what you're going to see. And hopefully the performance metrics will flush out whether that's in line with what your constituents want. I have every reason to believe that we have great MPO board members, and this will give people an opportunity to show that. So please go home, talk to your MPOs, talk to your both the elected staff and the hired staff, get some more ideas, bring them to me, and we'll keep working on this PCB as it moves forward. Thank you, everyone. With that, I close.
Thank you, Chair McFarland. Margarita, please call the roll.
Representatives Andrade, Arrington,
yes.
Baker,
yes.
Bankson,
yes.
Fairfield,
yes.
Edmonds,
yes.
Escamani,
sure, yes.
Esposito,
yes.
Harris,
yes.
Hinson,
yes.
Lopez,
yes.
Mello,
yes.
Michael,
yes.
Nixon? Porras?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Chair McFarland?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
And by your vote, PCB TMS 24-01 relating to transportation will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Chair. And I will hand the gavel back to Chair McFarland.
Great job, Vice Chair. Members, this concludes our committee agenda for today. Great job in week two. I'll preview week three for us. We've got some celebrities coming. The committee agenda is always at the discretion of the speaker, so I don't want to get ahead of him, but stay tuned for next Thursday, folks. The Transportation Subcommittee is going to be, I think, one of our best ones. Members, see no further business before the committee today. Representative Escamani moves, we rise. Without objection, the meeting's adjourned.